This evening, I want to talk to us about memorization of the Word of God. Now, when you start talking about memorization or memorizing things, people tend to just turn you off. Because we realize that to try to remember something or to put something to memory is a task. In other words, it takes a diligent effort to memorize something, anything. It takes work. It takes labor. We all realize and recognize that. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 11, "Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." And I don't know how else to explain that statement, that phrase, hidden in my heart, than the idea that he had placed at least parts of God's word to memory, committed it to memory. And I believe that the Bible encourages us to practice, and I say practice because that's what it is. We practice scripture memorization. For example, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 6 to 9, God is trying to impress upon these people the importance of remembering his word. The Bible says there, Deuteronomy 6, beginning verse 6, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Sometimes you go into somebody's house and you see scripture. They've got a verse maybe written on a card, and you see it stuck to the refrigerator, and then they've got it stuck over here on this door. Maybe it's stuck on that wall. And you ask, "What's going on?" "Well, I'm trying to memorize that passage of scripture. I'm just putting it everywhere so I can be reminded of it, so that I can put it to memory." Well, that's what we're talking about here. You put it on the doorpost. You put it as frontlets between your eyes. You talk to it, to your children. You try to put it, as he said here, on your heart. It shall be in your heart, verse 6. A lot of verses we can look at. I'll just look at a few here. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." Now, I have a footnote in my Bible by meditate, and I like what it says. It says, "Ponders by talking to himself." You know, sometimes when we hear the word meditate, we think of the people who levitate, or maybe some of the New Age people. They sit around, they cross their legs, and they stick their fingers out like this, and they go om or whatever. That's not what the Bible means when it talks about meditating. Ponders by talking to himself. And the idea is to say the same thing to yourself over and over again, as in trying to remember something. Trying to put something to memory. That's what is brought forth by this idea of meditating. In his law is his delight. In his law he meditates day and night. Trying to write that where? On the heart, like God said we ought to do. Write his word on our hearts. Proverbs 7, verse 1 to 3. Proverbs 22, 17 to 18. These verses and many more teach the same concept of meditating on God's word, writing God's word upon our hearts. Now, the most obvious way to write the word of God on our hearts and to meditate on it day and night is through scripture memory. And as Christians, we ought to strive to write the word of God on our heart so that we'll be prepared to discuss the Bible with others, for one of many good reasons. We should be able to quickly open the Bible to a passage which answers the question we may be asked. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us that we ought to be ready because we have sanctified the Lord God in our heart, ready to give an answer to anyone who asks us for the reason for the faith that is in us with meekness and fear. Can I do that? Are you prepared to do this? It takes work. It takes determination, but something we must be willing to do. And so in discussing the idea of memorizing God's Word, the first thing we want to discuss tonight is the purpose of memorization. Why memorize? Well, to know God's Word. It helps us to grow in knowledge, doesn't it? I mean, knowledge is something that we want to retain. In order to really call it knowledge, knowledge don't do me a whole lot of good if I can't retain it. If I can't bring it to mind when I need it. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." The passage that we quoted a moment ago, 1 Peter 3:15, "Sanctify the Lord God in your heart, that you may be able to give an answer to anyone who asks you the reason for the faith that is in you with meekness and fear." And again, Psalm 119:11, "Thy word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." It's so crucial that we remember parts of the Word of God. Now, I'm not talking about sitting down and memorizing from Genesis to Revelation, word for word. Some people do that. That's a great accomplishment. But you can be well versed in the Word of God and know it well, and others think of you as a walking Bible just by putting to memory several key passages in the Word of God. Every Christian ought to be able to do that. And we should be ready and willing to do that, because there's a great purpose in memorizing God's Word. I read an old article one time, and I've heard other older preachers say this, that members of the Church of Christ were once known by their ability to recall Scripture. They were referred to as walking Bibles. You could walk up to someone you worked with who was a member of the Church of Christ and just ask him a Bible question. They'd give you this answer and that answer. Might walk up to him and say, "Where's it mentioned dogs in the Bible?" And they just give you a Scripture. And some of these older preachers, the one writing that article and others that I've talked to, were lamenting this fact because in their experience, it's really no longer true. We become too busy and too caught up in other things in the world that we don't take the time that it takes to meditate day and night in the law of the Lord. And to place it in our hearts. Psalm 37, verse 31, the psalmist said, "The law of God is in his heart." Place it in our heart. And so when talking about memorization of the Word of God, we consider the purpose of memorization. Number two, we want to think for a moment about the power of memorization. As I said earlier, memorizing Scripture helps us to be ready always. To be ready to give an answer for the faith that is in us. You know, there are many people who are simply not ready to speak about the Bible. Maybe they go through the workday hoping that no one asks them a Bible question or begins to have a religious discussion with them because they're afraid that they're not going to be able to recall Scripture or to know what to think or to know what to say or to know what to teach. You know, Jesus often answered questions with Scripture, didn't he? And what better way is there to be ready always to give an answer than memorizing key passages and writing them on our hearts? Memorizing Scripture gives us confidence to share our faith, doesn't it? I mean, in my experience, I believe that one of the biggest detriments to people going out there and just starting up conversations with people religiously or just trying to get a Bible study going is because they're not really all that confident in their own knowledge of Scripture. They're afraid that somebody's going to get them on something because they're not able to recall Scripture and to think about what the Bible says. Why? Because we haven't practiced it. We haven't practiced running Scripture through our head every day, regularly. But memorizing Scripture gives us the confidence to overcome that fear and to go out and to begin to share the gospel with other people, these souls who are lost. Memorizing Scripture helps us to resist temptation. It has the power to do that. Remember Matthew chapter 4 when Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil? Matthew 4 verse 1. It says in verse 3, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. And Jesus answered and said, it is written. You see that? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so Jesus, in order to stand up to this temptation and to be strong and to overcome the temptation, what did he do? He referred to Scripture. Scripture that was written on his heart. And he said to that old devil, that old tempter, Satan, he said, it is written. And then he quoted Scripture to repel temptation. And then verse 5, the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. Now you've got Satan quoting Scripture. He's going to misuse it, but he's quoting it. I want to tell you, if Satan could memorize some Scripture, I certainly ought to be able to. Satan said, he shall give his angel charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And so again, he uses Scripture to repel temptation. And then he said, all these things I'll give to you, verse 9, if you'll fall down and worship me. Jesus said again to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. It is written, it is written, it is written. Jesus appealed to Scripture that was written on his heart. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't believe Jesus had his scroll out there and said, now, Satan, it is written somewhere here. I believe Jesus was quoting Scripture, don't you? He had it written on his heart. And it prepared him. Now, listen, it's not always convenient for us to have a Bible in our pocket or to carry a Bible around with us to Walmart or wherever we're going. Some people have the small ones, keep them in their pocket. I've got one I keep in my truck. But I don't always have it in my pocket when I'm walking around Walmart. But I feel pretty good about what I got written on my heart in case I get into a discussion at Walmart with somebody. And we ought to all come to that confidence because it helps us to overcome. And it helps us to overcome temptation. You're driving down the road and you're tempted with maybe this sin or that sin, and you think in your mind of a passage that condemns that. And it helps you to overcome. That's what Jesus was doing here. Memorizing Scripture can help us and give us the power to renew our minds. Over in the book of Romans chapter 12, in verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul says there, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, here it is, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The renewing of your mind. I mean, that's what happens when we become Christians, right? We become new creations, new creatures. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And we need to renew our minds daily. Because we have a new life in Christ. And that renewing of our mind is a kind of a gradual process through our life as Christians. A reconditioning, a retraining of our minds. We eject the old thoughts. We replace it with the new thoughts. The thoughts that are spiritual. The thoughts from the Word of God. Psychologists tell us that there's one thing and only one thing that man can have absolute control over. His mind, his thoughts. And we ought to control our thoughts and train our thoughts and renew our thoughts and renew our mind towards service to God. What better way to do that than working on memorizing parts of the Word of God? And then putting it to action in our lives. Another thing, memorizing Scripture gives us power to overcome worry. Now, Jesus taught us not to worry, didn't he? There in Matthew chapter 6. And I'm talking about anxiety. I'm talking about, as we would say, worrying yourself to death over something. Everybody has what I call healthy concern about things. We're concerned about things. I think a little bit of concern and worry helps keep us responsible. Just responsible people. But being over anxious for something and worrying yourself to death for something, that's what Jesus is talking about here. He says, don't worry about your life. Verse 25 of Matthew 6. What you'll eat, what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Isn't our anxiety a slap in the face to God? I don't really trust you, God. I'm worrying myself to death over this. We sing the song, take it to the Lord in prayer. Just pray to Jesus. Pray to God through Jesus Christ, by the authority of Christ. And then let God take care of it. Ever hear the phrase, do your best and leave the rest? That phrase was coined to discourage worry. Do what you can, and now you've done all you can. And don't worry about it. Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, and so forth. Verse 27, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? No one. You want to be 6'5", you're not going to get there by worrying yourself to death about it. But scripture memorization can help give us power to overcome worry. I mean, how do we learn to have faith in God? How do we learn to have trust in God? Faith comes by hearing, right? And hearing by the Word of God. And of knowing the Word of God and recalling it throughout the day as we work, as we do whatever, to help us to overcome worrying ourselves sick over something. I mean, you can always replace a bad thought, a negative thought, whatever, with a good one, right? Isn't that what we ought to always do? Remember Paul told us there in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, I believe it is, to meditate on these things. Verse 8, really. The things that are just and noble and pure and lovely and of good report. If there's any virtue, anything praiseworthy. Meditate on these things. Keep your mind busy with these things. Busy with the Word of God. Tempting thoughts won't have room to come in. If they do, they'll be pushed right out. How? Because you're filling your mind with Scripture, with good thoughts. What can be more noble, more just, more pure, more lovely, of a better report, more virtuous, more praiseworthy than the Word of God? Nothing. Meditating on the Word of God. So memorizing Scripture gives us power to overcome worry. Memorizing Scripture gives us a greater insight into all of the Word of God. Remembering His Word, studying it, building like one building block upon another until things begin to fall in place. It's a wonderful process when you remember and lay on your heart the Word of God. So memorizing God's Word. Consider the purpose of memorization. Think about the power of memorization. And then finally, very quickly, we got a short sermon tonight. I hope you'll remember it. We've got the plan of memorization. Now, some of you have already picked these up. I've given them to everyone in my class. I put these together a couple of weeks ago. It's called Write on Your Heart. There are several back there, and I'm going to make several more. Hope everybody will get one and look through it. This is a plan for memorization. Now, it's not the plan for memorization. There are other methods and other ways, but it's a good one. It's one that I've used since I was a young teenager. And it'll help you to write the Word of God on your heart and to be ready always to give an answer to anyone to ask you a reason for the faith that is in you with meekness and fear. Memorizing Scripture really is no more difficult than remembering anything else. Some people say, I can't memorize the Bible. I can't memorize this and that. I had an elder in the church tell me years ago, I just can't memorize things. He knew his name, and he knew his phone number, and he knew the phone numbers of all his family and his friends, and he knew his Social Security number, and he knew his checking account number, and he knew all these things. He had memorized them. He said, but Mike, those things are important to me. I use them all the time. You've heard me make this point many times. Is the Word of God not important to us? Shouldn't we use it all the time? You see, we remember what's important to us. God's Word is important to us. We remember names and birthdays and anniversaries and sports statistics and recipes and on the list goes, because they're important to us and we use them often in discussion or whatever. Is there anything more important to us than knowledge of the Bible? You know, there are Christians who know the TV schedule better than they do the Bible. They ought to be ashamed of themselves. There are Christians who know the statistics of their favorite ball players or the statistics in the history of their favorite ball team better than they know the Word of God. They ought to be ashamed of themselves. Maybe we need to reevaluate our priorities from time to time. We need to learn to handle aright the Word of God, 2 Timothy 2:15, so that we can be a worker that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling aright the Word of God. Be diligent or study to show yourself approved of God. It takes study. It takes diligent study to memorize things. When I was young, those who were my Bible class teachers always had memory verses every week, period. In Bible class, we had a memory verse. It was in addition to our regular studies, but there was a memory verse, every week a memory verse. And we were expected to know the memory verses. And we'd work on them, and it took work. And I remember Dal Mullins, you've met him, he's been here before, he'd always tell us, memorization is, repetition is the key to memorization. That's the idea behind meditating, saying the same thing to yourself over and over again. Repetition is the key to memorization, isn't it? I think I saw something in the Bible Lab here. It said repetition is the key to learning. That's really saying the same thing, isn't it? You go over it and over it and over it and over it again and again and again and again until you've got it. In this book, if you pick one up, you're going to find something that looks similar to this. It's a little bit different, but it looks just like this. I copied and pasted this right out of it into here, so it's very similar. And you're going to find that this is set up topically. In other words, the topic is positive thinking. The key verse is Philippians 4:13, and the Philippians 4:13 says this, and this is based on the New King James Version. Now here's your change references. We're going to talk about this. Here's how it works. If you get the book, it explains all this in an introduction. What you memorize is the topic, positive thinking. You memorize that, positive thinking. And along with that, you memorize the key verse, Philippians 4:13. The book and the reference. So when somebody talks about positive thinking, you remember Philippians 4:13, that comes to mind. And then you memorize, adding to that, what Philippians 4:13 says. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Even memorize Scripture? Oh yeah, that's the point. I can't memorize Scripture, that man said to me years ago. Well, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. What about positive thinking? Well, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you go over that over and over again for a week till you've got it. We'll talk about the process here in a moment. But we take the key passages that we're going to memorize, and this book has done that for you. What you see up here, there are several of them. There's another one. There are several of them. This book is full of topics and key verses. And over to the side is the chain references. We'll get to that in just a moment. But we learned the book, we learned the chapter, we learned the verse. And here's the suggestion that I ran across. To memorize a verse. Read the verse aloud 10 times, out loud. To yourself and read that verse out loud 10 times. Break it down into sections and memorize each section. Say it out loud with your eyes closed 10 times. Do this with a new verse on the first day of each week. And write down the date on the verse. You'll know right in a minute. Let me continue. Review the verse several times each day for the rest of the week. Carry the card around with you. Now, you're writing this information here on a little card, index card. That way you can keep it in your pocket throughout the day. Take it wherever you need. And whenever you get time through the day, take it out and review it. Memorize the verse. You do that for a week, you're going to have the verse memorized. Review the verse several times each day for the rest of the week. Carry the card around with you. Review a verse each day for 7 weeks, once each week for 7 months, and then once a month for 7 months until you remember it for life. If you do that, you'll remember it for life. And you're saying, what'd you just say, Mike? Pick one up. It's in there. It'll tell you what to do. And listen, if you'll follow this program for 1 year, this book, you'll be amazed at your own ability to quote Scripture. I mean, here's the topic here. The Bible is complete. That's pretty important when you're out in the world, isn't it? Somebody talks about their creed books, talks about their synods, and talks about their pope and all this other stuff that they think they need. Well, God's Word teaches that the Bible is complete. And then you memorize John 16, verse 13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He'll guide you into all truth. Might as well use this. All truth. Not some of the truth, not part of the truth. The Holy Spirit was going to guide the apostles into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He'll speak, and He'll tell you things to come. And you've memorized that. You've memorized the topic. The Bible is complete. Somebody starts to talk about that or talking about their creeds. You memorize John 16, 13, and then you know what it says. And you're ready to have a discussion, aren't you? You're ready to teach somebody the truth on that topic already. But the bonus comes here with the chain references. You see, all this scripture here has to do with that same topic. The Bible is complete. Same topic. You memorize this verse. You memorize the reference. You memorize what the verse says. Now, you can use the New King James Version. That's what I use. You can use the King James Version. You can use the NIV. Whatever version that you use, you can use that version. I recommend the New King James. That's the one I like. It's very accurate and easy to read. And then you go to John 16, 13 in your Bible, and out in the margin somewhere, you jot down 2 Peter 1, verse 3, where Peter says, God had given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And so all you've done, if you've memorized John 16, 13, you read it, you can open it up, show people, and then in there it's reminding you 2 Peter 1, 3, so you turn over there and you can show them that too. And then it says, God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, everything that we need. And then in your margin in your Bible at 2 Peter 1, 3, you've got 1 Peter 4, 11 written there. And then by that you've got 2 John 9 and Jude 3 and Revelation 22, 18 and 19, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. And so all you've done is you've memorized one verse and its reference, and it has given to you access to all these verses. That's what it's doing. You can teach somebody an entire lesson on that topic just by memorizing that one verse, because when you turn to it in your Bible, there's that one. And when you turn to that one, there's that one in the margin by it. And when you turn to that one in the margin by it. Isn't that neat? And imagine you've done that with over the next year with 49, 52 topics, whatever. You've memorized 49, 52 verses, but in the process, you have put at your fingertips instant access to hundreds of verses and several topics to discuss with people out there. A lot of good topics that I've got in here for you if you want to follow this to help you memorize the Word of God. Listen, you can do this. I did it. Listen, if I can do it, I know anybody can do it. People have asked me for years, Michael, how do you know the Bible so well? How did you memorize so much scripture? This is where I started, right here, this program. Or something very similar. This is my own putting together, but the idea came from a fellow, I can't remember his name now, and he had something similar to it, and I used it. And then you can add your own topics. But listen, you can do it. And the more you practice, the more you train your mind to remember things, the easier it gets. The 10th verse you memorize, you're going to find is going to be a lot easier than the first one was, because you're practicing now. You're practicing memorizing things. We can do this. And so I encourage us to follow a plan. If not this one, come up with your own plan, whatever, and memorize some of God's Word so that you will be ready always to give an answer for the faith that is in you to anyone who asks. For the reason for the faith that is in you with meekness and fear. But we need to be remembering the Word of God. We need to be writing God's Word on our hearts. Review, repeat, review, repeat. Don't get bored with the repetition. It's necessary to lay the Word of God on your heart, so that we might not sin against God, so that we will be empowered and confident to share the Word of God with others, so that we'll have the power we need to quote Scripture in our minds to overcome temptation that Satan throws at us every day of our lives, So much power we'll have if we can memorize Scripture. And so memorization, I believe, of God's Word is very important. And not only is it very important, but it's, as a lot of people say today, it's doable. This is something we can do. We can do this and lay the Word of God on our hearts. And talking about memorizing God's Word, consider the purpose of memorization. It's a high purpose, a holy purpose. Consider the power of memorization, how it empowers us to overcome sin and to teach others and to have confidence and overcome worry. And then there is the plan of memorization. This is just one of many plans, I'm sure, but it's a good one. It's worked for me. Maybe it'll work for you. Pick one up in the back as you go on out and look it over. Don't worry, there's probably not enough there for everybody to get one tonight, but I'll be making more. If it's the last one, take it, I'll make more. It's real easy to make them in here on the copying machine. So let's work on this, and let's strive to write the Word of God on our heart so that we may know the Word of God. Years ago, there was a preacher over in Dixon area, and he was teaching a lesson on memorizing God's Word. And it was a class, and one of the brothers, an older brother, he'd been a Christian for many years, said, we know God's Word. We don't need no study plan to memorize God's Word. That's silly. And the preacher said, okay, what's Hebrews 5, 8, and 9 say? It's a basic passage about Jesus. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. You've heard me quote it many times. But I didn't know it. Didn't even know what we was talking about. He said, okay, how about Romans 5, 8? Very basic passage. God demonstrates his love toward us, and that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Fellow didn't know. Didn't even know what he was talking about. Okay, how about John 3, 16? And you know the guy couldn't even quote that one. You see, that's the attitude a lot of people take toward some kind of memory plan, something that's going to help us grow. Don't be negative toward it. Don't think you're above it. You've been a Christian too long. You're smart enough that you're above something silly like this. Nothing silly about this. You take this, you use it, you practice it, you work on it, you work through the frustrations, you work through all that, I can't do it, I'll never be able to do it. You can do it. Just keep going. Work through it. Once you get a few verses under your belt, you'll have the confidence to move on and get more. And you'll get excited. And you'll be ready to share your knowledge with others. It's a wonderful thing to have the Word of God written upon our hearts. Let's pray.